welcome our visitors we have. We're going to be continuing our study on avoiding digital dangers, but before we begin, we want to go to God in prayer. I'd like to ask Zach if you would lay our minds in prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come for you now at the beginning of this Bible study, and we pray that Brother Kevin has presents an easy way to, for us to understand the lesson he prepared. We pray for all the teachers at this time that they will teach the children in the back, and the children will listen to them and take as much as they can in and learn more and more about you. And we pray for those who are traveling at this time, and pray that they'll get back to their homes and destinations safely and be with the sick and be with the spiritually sick, that whatever can be said and be done, you know, be done or said to them to bring them back to you or bring them to you in the first place. And be with us always. Just now we pray. Amen.
As I mentioned, we're continuing our study on avoiding digital dangers. We began this study 2 weeks ago looking at the fundamental of our stewardship. And then last week we studied about the fundamental of modesty, because those two lessons in the scriptures and points from those lessons were going to be repeated over and over and over again throughout these lessons. So I figured I'd knock them out and get the in-depth discussion about those verses done early on, and then we can just reference back to those discussions throughout the rest of the study. There are a couple points that I rushed through at the end of class last week, and a point that I got flustered and completely forgot to mention. So whenever I hit the microphone showing what the ladies do when they bend over to make sure they stay modest, I got flustered and missed the whole next thing about what the definition was about the tunic that is given, the definition given by Encarta Dictionary about what that word meant back in the first century. It's a knee-length garment with sleeves, a round neck, and a loose body worn by men in ancient Rome, or a similar garment worn during the Middle Ages. And we talked about the short sleeves, we talked about the round neck, and I completely skipped the last point and moved right on. And someone said, "Did you mean to do that?" And I said, "No, I did not mean to do that." The tunic was loose fitting, not form fitting, not showing everything but still being clothed, like many of the fashions are today. And then the last point I mentioned was about criticism, about men approaching women, asking them about their modesty, and many times when men say that they have a problem with it, they're the ones that are viewed as being pigs. And that's not me coming at women or anything like that. That is what the mindset was of several articles I read, even from worldly sources. I mentioned Time and People magazine's surveys that they've done, and that was the main criticism that has been viewed, that it's the men are the pigs, or if they shouldn't be looking, or anything like that. But we talked about how the proper mindset should be that we all want to get to heaven. We all want to make sure each and every one of us are able to get to heaven and overcome the struggles that we deal with. And the point was brought up after class that we as parents and grandparents need to teach our children that men and women think differently. Women do not think like men. Men do not think like women. Men need to teach their wives about how a man's mind is, and they also need to teach their daughters to make sure that they're dressed modestly and know how men are. And same things with women and sons. And we're going to get into that one a little bit later and talking about men and women, how they're different. If you've ever seen or read the books, just slipped my mind, Every Man's Battle and Every Woman's Battle. Those two books show two different mindsets of the man's mind and the woman's mind, and we're going to get to that throughout these studies. We're going to get to the man's mindset in a very in-depth lesson, of course, and then the women's mindset we're going to talk about a little bit today. Any comments or questions about the lessons that we've had so far? I asked the question on lesson three. The first question I asked, and Christina said, really, you're asking someone to do research? But yes, I did. I asked for you all to figure out and find out how much RAM or memory and processing powers did the supercomputers that for Apollo 11 that put a man on the moon have. Did anybody figure that out? Yes, Ken.
It says 2K
on one computer and another computer had 4K. So there's 4K on the ground and 2K on the lander. Yes. 32K of actual storage, which if you think about it now, thumb drives, Michaela, hold up, you saw that one? Oh, it's in the purse. In your purse? Okay, I just gave her the wedding video on a thumb drive. That thumb drive's not 32K, it's not 32 meg, it's 32 gig. So a thumb drive that you can now store and put on a keychain and take with you anywhere and everywhere has more storage power than what put a man on the moon. And actually, the code that put a man on the moon can actually fit in a single PDF file. So
is 1,300 times less than an iPhone 5S.
Mm-hmm. So 4K of RAM, this has 2 gig of RAM. The NASA computers had just over 1 megahertz of processing power. This phone, 2.34 gigahertz of processing power. So
I was just
okay.
About as powerful as a pocket calculator is what one of the references I found first.
So kilohertz, megahertz, gigahertz. Each one of those is different by 1,024. So to go from kilohertz to megahertz, you're increasing it 1024 fold. To go from megahertz to gigahertz, you're going 1024 fold. So processing power of 1 megahertz to 2.34 gigahertz would be 2.34 times 1024. Or 4K of RAM to 2 gig of RAM, the processing power, the memory of it, would be 512 times 1024, 512,000 times more processing power on a cell phone than what's on put a man on the moon. No. But yes, your smartphone is millions of times more powerful than all the NASA's combined computing in 1969. Yes.
I think it's also interesting that we always knock the phone reference on the flip phones. Flip phones had more power than the NASA computers and the Apollo.
Yes. It's just amazing how technology has come and what we take for granted. I mean, a thumb drive has more storage. A phone has 500,000 times, a half a million times more memory than they did for their computers. Yes.
And if you look back at those pictures, look at how many people were being used compared to today.
Not only the people that you see in the pictures, but also all the ones that are behind the scenes in the basement and everything like that.
That was your gigahertz.
Yes. And to the people loading a punch card, letting it run, loading the next one. And the one in charge of keeping them in order. That is a very serious job. You never want to drop a pile of punch cards. So that just shows you how powerful technology has come today, and with this great ability comes great responsibility. So, sorry to quote Spider-Man. So, the next question I asked was for you to read Romans 1, 28 to 31, and say what it says men will become in relation to cell phones today and the plethora of apps available to download. That verse says, "And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They are filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They're all full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They're gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. And in those verses, I ask, what in those descriptions, those adjectives given, what can we see in the world, cell phone world and technology world today?
All of that.
All of that, pretty much, yes. Pretty much all of that. And I just realized while we were reading that verse that I left my Bible out in the van, but we'll go through. We'll get through. I didn't have my children to help me make sure I was on task today. But yes, it says we can pretty much look at all those descriptions and say all of those things are today. Dale Adams mentioned inventors of evil things, Romans 1:30. If you look at the apps today, there's a plethora of those that can be used for evil. Not the Bible, which I'm pulling up now, so don't worry. So, there are a plethora of them that are used for evil. They can be used for good, but many times they're also used for evil. And in his lessons about digital dangers, Dale Adams listed several of these, and I wanted to give you a little bit of feedback of some of them that he mentioned. Again, I'm not saying that all of them are bad. There are good points to each and every one of them. Snapchat. It can be used as a sexting app as messages delete after 10 seconds. So they can be sent for sending explicit pictures or explicit messages, and those would be deleted after 10 seconds. And many people are doing that. The problem is that they can still be taken as a screenshot during that 10 seconds and stored on the phone and then used as blackmail or embarrassment to the other person after the fact.
Kevin, yes. Just to point out the significance of this, we both teach in middle school. Dina teaches 6th grade, I teach 8th grade. All 8th graders have cell phones. So 13 and 14-year-olds have cell phones which are access to everything you're about to go over. Dina just told me that most 6th graders in our middle school has cell phones. Many elementary school age children have cell phones, where parents just hand over to them what you're about to go over. And I also realize that many Christians give cell phones to their children as early as 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, and without understanding what you're about to go over. So to just kind of keep that in mind, that many 10, 11-year-olds have easy access to this.
Good point, Dan. We're going to get to that in just we're going to make an actual application. I have an account I'm going to read, and it's going to get personal. I'm going to just say that. There's also an app called Kick, where you can exchange videos and pics. There's no parental controls, and there's no authentication required into the app. Another one is WhatsApp. It's great to use to call and message without having a phone plan. Great to use to communicate with Eddie or people down in foreign lands, because you can just send a message to them and don't have to have long distance and international fees. But at the same time, if you just hand a kid a phone and say, I'm taking the SIM card out, all you can have is wireless access, they can still do this. They can still call a message without having a phone plan over WhatsApp. MeetMe or Omegle. MeetMe, you can meet up with strangers at set locations. Omegle is kind of like a chat roulette. You never know who you're going to get, but you can have a chat roulette with strangers through Omegle. And those apps are being used in dangerous ways as well. Secret or Whisper. These two apps will tell you who's also using that app is within 5 miles from you, so you can meet with them and hook up with them or whatever you want to do. Secret vaults. There's a secret vault calculator where kids can store hidden pictures or videos on their phones, and it's not accessible in the photo gallery. So if you ever go to a phone and find out there's two calculators on it, there might be a this hidden vault on that phone. We talked about modesty and what the New Testament says that we should be looking for. But we know Tinder, you swipe left, swipe right, connecting just on looks. And then, if you like the looks, then you learn more, which is completely reversed from what we said last week about how a man should be attracted to a woman and vice versa. Then we have game chats and many, many more. Many apps have chat rooms, whether it be on phone or on iPads and anything like that. On tablets, they have a chat. And here's where it gets personal. I have asked permission to use this. This is about my niece. So if I get a little teary-eyed like I'm doing right now, it's because it hits home. A 10-year-old girl installed a game on her phone. She was given a phone because she was her mom was with the kids at daycare. And so when she was on the bus, she'd text her mom saying she's on the way home so the mom could meet up at home and everything like that, or after school activities. So she installs a game, and the game has a chat feature. She begins seamlessly just talking to a guy about the game and what to do, and he starts asking questions. She gets addicted to this game and camaraderie. So much that when she was grounded from her tablet, she stole her brother's tablet and started using it. When they are both put into the safe to keep her away from it, she figured out the safe combination. She knew possible combinations of what the combination could be, and she went down and punched them in, got locked out, punched them in some more until she got into the safe and got it out. She finally got caught for that. And they were removed. Then, here's the kicker we couldn't believe. She then would be put in bed, and my aunt and uncle, my sister-in-law and brother would go to bed themselves. She would sneak into the kitchen, take my sister-in-law's phone off of the charger, go to the app store, install the game, talk to the guy and play the game, uninstall the app, and put the phone back on the charger for the phone to have enough time to charge back up to full charge before my sister-in-law got up in the morning. When finally busted and research was done, the man was a 30-year-old man from the Michigan, Wisconsin area, and from the questions and answers given, it would be pretty easy for him to find her by simply asking her name and what city she lived in, and some other questions about the house and things like that. It'd be so much easier to find her with the tools that we have online and either run away with her or kidnap her if he'd wanted to. Charges have been filed. Dale Adams shares a story about a woman, a girl, down in the Franklin, Kentucky area with the same situation. She met a guy online, fell in love, quote unquote, with him, and decided to run away. She turned off location services on her phone. She only used WhatsApp to communicate with her parents because the WhatsApp messages did not have location tagging on the messages. Come to find out, eventually they found her. This man that she loved and she thought loved him, thought and still was convinced loved him, was trafficking her for sex and money and drugs. This is going on in our state. I mean, that's how, and in families, in our own families. This is a serious issue. And as Eddie pointed out, cell phones are being handed out with no requirements, or if there are requirements, kids tend to learn how to skirt around those requirements. So hopefully with these next points that we're going to make, we can see some tips and tools to help guide us. Any comments so far?
This just shows you how you use technology. You was talking about putting men on the moon, you know, back 1969 and in the early 70s, we were putting men on the moon with much less technology than we have now. If you just take all this, you know, all the cell phones we have in this room, how much technology that consists of, none of us could put man on the moon with our cell phones. But it's how you use that technology or develop it into something where you can use it for something good. And, you know, I think that's where it comes back into stewardship. Anything that we have in our generation that we're, I don't know if you want to call it a blessing, but if we're blessed with some kind of technology or something and we don't use it in the proper way, we're going to be held accountable for that. And it's so very important to recognize that today.
And I've said this many times, and I'm going to say it again right now, that research has shown the human mind is not developed till about age 21 or 22. I don't care how good your child is, their minds are not developed fully until the age of 21 and 22. I've been teaching 23 years. I've been around teenagers for the past 23 years, okay? I have been around teenagers that have received appointments to West Point, the Naval Academy. I've been around teenagers that are presidential scholars going to all over the country to many different universities. I have yet, and I'm including my own children, I have yet to meet anyone under the age of 20 that I would call an adult. To think otherwise of your children is dangerous. I don't care how good they are. Anybody can fall into this. And when you read the scriptures, you see so many examples of King David himself falling prey to temptation and sin. And so as parents, as grandparents, you need to keep that fully in front of you when making decisions, because these kind of decisions are very serious because of what they can obtain at the touch of a button.
Any other comments?
I don't know. I was thinking this passage in Romans 1, and I even thought about 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5 is kind of a parallel text to this, but maybe going along with Eddie's point, you know, it's not technology so much that it's evil in and of itself. Just like that example you use, I mean, we can take measures with our children to... We think where they can't have access to any of this, but we first of all have to just constantly be teaching them and training them and helping them, you know, make decisions as they get older, to make good decisions about not loving self, loving pleasure, loving God. Because if we don't lay that foundation, even when they're you know, they may be fine when they're in our home, but once they get out, they're going to make horrible decisions. They're going to make sinful decisions and get themselves in a lot of trouble. So to me, you know, it's not, just like a lot of things are maybe not morally good or bad in and of themselves, it's how we use them. And that comes back to our principles, our standards, our values, our thinking. You know, that's where it starts.
Good point.
This makes me think of sermons from when I was young, when cell phones were not, this percentage was not nearly as high of children having cell phones. And a lot of the sermons or lessons then were about how parents might allow their children to drink or something in their home, because as long as I'm supervising, I can make sure that it doesn't get out of hand. And we see how ridiculous that is. And this is the same thing. The you know, Satan is feeding us lies of like, well, you can supervise and you will, you know, be over that. But like you've shown, the, you know, children are very smart. They're not fully developed, but they are very clever and can figure out how to get around all of that. And it just makes me think of some of those things. And just another side point, when I was in high school, there some had cell phones, but very, you know, not near the percentage, but a lot of them had them because that was when school shootings became more common, or at least more, I don't know, in the media, so people knew about them more at the very least. And it became, you know, I think a fear for parents that I want to be able to contact, I want to be in contact with you whenever I can. And I can understand that fear, but we may have to do more work for ourselves to make that possible. That needs to be something on us, not a burden we put on them. And oftentimes the kids don't use that as a, okay, my parents can get in touch with me whenever they are scared or want to know what's going on. They then use it to contact everybody else.
Yes.
And it's just another misuse.
I meant to pull up the stat. I forgot to pull it up and put in my notes about texting back in our day and what texting is today and how many text messages the average teenager sends today. It's astounding. Let's just say this. The average number of text teenager spends today of text messages before you had unlimited messaging would have filled up one month's supply done in one day. That's how much texting is done.
The comments that I'm just going to add to that, all that's been said, and going through just having raised two teenagers that are becoming adults, when we were homeschooling, it was easy to control the environment. When they started going to public school, one of the things that I found that it wasn't the idea it whether or not they had a cell phone, which they didn't at that point, which everybody around them did. So there's company they kind of did, but it was required that they would have a tablet. Well, the tablet had just as much, if not more, capabilities as a phone. And it wasn't an option. It was required even that I purchase it. The school required that. I was surprised by that.
Yes. That's becoming more and more common as well. That's being, and yes, where the title of this lesson is cell phones, but as you mentioned, all these apps are available on cell phone and tablets. So we need to make sure we're guarding well.
Sure. And another thing is that parents call on one of us is, remember how people would say, oh, well, your TV's your babysitter. Now it seems like the cell phone is, and even my daughter will come in the house and she'll be on her cell phone and says, well, I thought you was here to see me. Not come in and sit down, so you're driving, you're not driving, and you're still on. You go home and do that later on, or you visit with me while I'm there. So I think sometimes parents give it, and the parents will be sitting right there, and the kids will be sitting right there in the same room texting, whatever. And it's got to be more family time.
Okay.
Because kids will learn anything.
Quick comment. As your kids get older, you know, they're going to be having access to all these sort of things. And I've said this many times as well and say it again. Ronald Reagan, a wonderful man. He was not a Christian, but he was a wonderful man. And he had one idea that applies to this. With your children, you trust, but verify. There's nothing wrong with that. You love them a lot enough so that they don't do something stupid that's going to impact them for the rest of their lives. So you trust, but verify.
Yes.
I've been sitting here looking because as a school teacher, I'm familiar with a lot of these apps. Just something to think about. Of the seven apps you've listed by name up there, I can count four of them that I know are free to download. Mm-hmm. The others are anywhere from 99 cents to $2. It is less expensive now to get any of these apps than it is to go to Walmart, a toy store, and buy an actual toy for our kids. Just let that sink in for a second.
And with Amazon, you can purchase whatever you want, and what kids are doing today is they're going to Walmart and getting a $50 debit card and using that debit card to download apps like this or to order things off the internet, because you can order anything off the internet, and then without the parents even knowing it, and then putting money back on those reloadable debit cards that Walmart has. That is a common practice among teenagers. I know that for a fact.
Any other questions or comments before we go?
I guess, I didn't have cell phones. I didn't have any of that until I was 27 years old. And I actually got yelled at by my boss for not having one yet. And so it was like, you need to get a cell phone. I was like, okay. But if you think about all of us who are adults, think about what we did as kids. And I mean teenagers. And some of us made better choices than others. And some of us, didn't. But think about it. When a kid wants to do something, he's going to figure out a way to do it. My dad said something to me one time, and he says, well, we're lucky you wanted to behave because you were more stubborn than all three of the kids, and if you wanted to do it, you were going to figure out a way to do it, whether it was right or not. And he was probably right, because I was a kid, and I didn't understand the consequences of the rest of my life, and you think that in the moment, and that's all blah, blah, blah. And if you think about all of that, the way I see this here is parents and even grandparents, and we need to get smart. We need to educate ourselves on this, and we need to figure out things to all of that. We need to research it. Mm-hmm. We need to figure that out. We need to ask people like yourself and other people who are IT people questions, and we need to figure that out, because it's just going to get worse, and it's just going to get more difficult, and kids are going to figure that out just like we figured out whatever it was popular in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. We figured out a way to do it. The difference is everything we did, it's now in technology. Is the best way I know how to say that. But also, it's okay to say no. If your kid don't have a cell phone, he's going to make it okay. And that's my point, is if you got to get rid of your phone, because adults have to get rid of their phones and cable TV and all this other stuff because they can't handle it. So if you got to tell your kid no, that's okay. They're going to make it. They'll live through after they graduate high school. They'll move on to something. They'll still be an adult. So I think, because I've heard people say that. I shared office with a guy that has two 15-year-old daughters. And the stuff he says, I'm like, tell him no. And he's like, I'm like, no, just say no, man. And he's looking at me like, well, that's not easy. You'll see. And I'm like, yeah, we'll see. They're going to just not like me for a couple of years because I'm going to tell them no. And I think my parents told me no. So anyway, I guess my point is we need to educate ourselves, which I'm glad to do it here because this is a good place. But it also is something that maybe we should all share our knowledge in some sort of chat room that's appropriate. And then that way we get a little practice on it. But that's where I think of it as a parent.
I was going to say, the majority of these inventions are invented by young people. Like me, I'm old. I've never even heard of most of this. I've never used it. Didn't have a computer growing up or a cell phone. So can't relate to the temptation that this may cause other people. But we have to remember that technology adapts. Mm-hmm. Okay, just like the military technology. Look at IEDs on the battlefield. We create other technology to defeat that capability. Well, as you put more control measures into this, they're going to figure out ways to get around it, like you said, just because it's just the way it evolves. And people adapt.
I mentioned, I put it on the screen, but forgot to mention it, about the Snapchat with the messages that are deleting themselves after 10 seconds. It was announced this past week, Facebook Messenger is now following suit, so just letting you know. So Facebook Messenger had its beta testing the same feature to erase messages after 10 seconds.
So I've got a question on that.
Yeah.
The cloud, everybody's talking about this cloud, it holds all this data mm-hmm. up in space. So even with Snapchat, wouldn't the cloud still have that data?
Oh yeah. Okay. It's not going to be on the phone for a parent to see, but the cloud is really several servers all around the world.
We're talking about our kids, and that is something we need to do. But we also need to think about what example we're setting for the kids, and I'm talking to myself here too. Do they see us all the time on their phones? And even if we're not doing things that are bad, what example are we setting for them, and what are we teaching them how to use a phone? Because they're going to do what we do.
Amen. Pressing forward in the lesson, I ask in question number 3 what the following verses say about the Christian or the godly. Psalm 4:3. Psalm 4:3. But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. Christians are to be different than the world. The godly are to be set apart. Romans 12:1-2, what does it say?
Transformed living holy sacrifice.
Your body is a living holy sacrifice in verse 2?
Transformed.
Yep. Be transformed, not conformed. We need to be transformed. We need to be not conformed to the world, not doing whatever the world does, but be set apart, which is exactly what the next verse says, 2 Corinthians 6:17. We are to be set apart. Let me turn and read that. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Verse 18, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. We are to be set apart. And as I mentioned, read the next verse, God wants us to be his sons and daughters. Just think about that for a second. God wants us to be his children. He wants to adopt us into his family. And then the very next verse, since there wasn't a chapter break back when it was written, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We must cleanse ourselves from filthiness. So all these things, all these verses say that Christians are to be set apart, and teaching our children as well to be set apart, which is where I went with next in the questions about parenting in the digital age. Proverbs 29:15, what does it say?
A child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother.
A child that gets his own way brings shame to his mother. Or a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. We see in the world today, in the conversation we've had, many times the parents are just giving cell phones to the kids, no restrictions, nothing, just go have it and to where I can get a hold of you if I need to.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, some parents like myself, we're pretty ignorant of the technology on these phones. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know much. I haven't played with it. I know it's got capability, but I just don't exploit it to do something else. I'm not a digital guy. So, you know, it boils down to, you know, also educating parents on the, like you being an IT guy. Mm-hmm. Here's the capability. Here's what these things can do. You know, here's where they're at, here's what to look for. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like trying to diagnose somebody if you don't know what you're looking for.
Right.
You know, because they're smarter than you are, I can tell you that. Like you said, they know how to hide it from guys that don't, like me, who wouldn't know what I'm looking for. I work on computers, but I just do, like, Access, Excel, you know, Word. I don't do any of the IT stuff, so.
I know we've been talking about, you know, digitally, you know, dangers, but also, there's a lot of bullying and depression and things going on too. I mean, if you're not aware of like what the kids are talking about, you know, if kids are bullying them, I mean, that's how kids are killing themselves. I mean, so we can't just leave them alone, you know, and just, so we do need to interact with them and, you know, kind of be monitoring. Because even I work at a school as well, and I know I just work in the lunchroom, but sometimes the kids come in and they're really like depressed. I mean, they just start telling you things and, you know, some of them have phones as well. So
one of the stats that Dale Adams has said in his lesson about digital dangers, I believe it's in his, I've listened to 2 or 3, but it can't be corroborated, but suicide rate spiked and continued to rise the year the iPhone came out. You can't say this is because of this, but like you said, there's more social bullying and everything like that going on.
I think it's also related to the depression epidemic we have today. You know, information can be overwhelming okay? And we get a lot more information a lot faster than, like you said, the school shootings. We used not to hear about all the school shootings, right? As it happens today, I mean, everything goes on in the world you hear about. Just like this Saudi Arabia journalist. You know, a long time ago, you probably wouldn't have heard about that unless you read the Wall Street Journal. So this is causing problems, and I was going to say our children are probably better parenting in the digital age than I was, because they understand the digital age where, I mean, I'm just kind of naive.
Yeah, just to continue with the thought on the suicide, right now there's some sort of challenge. You know, you have the water challenge, cold water challenge, the hot water challenge. It's called the Blue Whale. We just received some information on it as teachers. But it's a suicide challenge, and it's really prevalent in the world, the whole world, and it's popping up. It's on YouTube. It's popping up in games. When your kid's playing a game, it'll pop up. Even like Candy Crush, it is popping up. It can be somebody can send it to a friend, and it's popping up. So kids are seeing this without the parents even having any idea, and this is just the latest fad. But apparently, like I said, we've received several warnings about it as teachers, and be listening with what the kids are saying, and that's the kind of thing that's going on, and a lot of parents don't even realize it. It's just kids are online, and all of a sudden their friends are sending it to them, and it's a suicide challenge.
Crazy. 1 Samuel 3:13. Why did it say Eli was being judged?
He didn't restrain his sons.
He did not restrain his sons. So even though his sons were grown, he still had he still had accountability to try to restrain his children. 1 Timothy 3:4 gives qualifications of elders, but many times when we're covering qualifications of elders, we say that most of the qualifications actually refer to what all Christians should strive for as well. 1 Timothy 3:4, what does it say one of the qualifications of an elder is?
Rule your house.
He can rule his house. He has his rules house. How can a father rule their house with children in reverence if they're not involved? We have so many kids who have two parents but don't have parents. We need to have involved parents. We need to be involved as parents. 1 Peter 2:11 says we're to abstain from fleshly lusts. And I want to put an asterisk on that and say we should abstain from fleshly lusts and teach our children to do the same. By word and by deed. Mark 9:42-43 says if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. Well, what about if it's not what's your hand itself, but it's what's in your hand that's causing you to sin? Think about that.
That's what I was getting ready to say. You know, you put this stuff in your mind, and eventually what you put in your mind, you'll act out on it. Continue to do that kind of thing. You know, the flesh is lust, it starts within the mind, right? You see, you like, you want, then, you know, the opportunity presents itself, just like it did with David, and you take that opportunity. It's how sin works.
Yes, that's exactly how sin works. It starts in the heart. So we have to guard our heart, and that's why I started off the whole series of lessons with our use of time in Philippians 4:8. Meditate on these things. We need to make sure we're filling our minds with the things that are just, the things that are true, the things that are loyal. Any other comments?
Kevin?
Yes.
Just thinking about some of these passages, things we talked about this morning, you know, it used to be, again, when I was growing up, you know, commercials on TV, I mean, beer companies, cigarette companies, whatever it was, even trying to get, you know, reach the kid audience, because they knew if they could get them hooked on that, they had them for the rest of their life. Well, now, I mean, I guess those commercials are still going on. We don't watch really commercials. But now it's like it's been discussed this morning, an innocent game or a good app in and of itself, but then the pop-ups on those, basically nothing more than what was in our generation. And it goes back to Ephesians 6, you know, the schemes of the devil. I mean, he's promoting the same lies and deceit and sin that has been going on since the Garden of Eden. It may be packaged in a different way. And so we have to be, like has been said, we have to be more aware of that as parents.
And with Christina's business being an online business and things, I know some things about Facebook and how to promote things on Facebook. Mm-hmm. They can actually say in their ad, when they pay for an ad, who they want to target, what area, what gender, what age range, everything. They can also say common likes. So if you like this one thing, maybe they can get you to like this thing as well. So they are promoting these things in social media, which
we'll get to, Lord willing, in 2 weeks. We'll continue on from here, starting at question number 5 next week with priorities and then some insights. Let's talk about some addictions of electronic devices and ending the lesson on cell phones with some tips that we can use as parents.